Shavuos Perek Gimel Mishnah Dalid 3-4. Now the Mishnah wants to consider what happens if a person takes a shvua not to eat, but then he eats things which probably people wouldn't eat. Okay, so the first case the Mishnah is shvua shlo ochal. A person says, "I'm not eating today, I swear." And despite his oath, va'achal achalim she'enem ru'oyin la'achila. He ate things that are not really food. For example, he ate dirt. He ate wood, okay? Or v'shasa mashkin she'enem ru'oyin l'shtia. He drank things which are not really for drinking. And he drank paint or something. So is he then in violation of his shvua? The answer is no, he's pater. Because it's safe to assume a normal person wouldn't consider or have meant things like paint and dirt to be considered food that he was forbidding when he said he swears he's not going to eat today. He didn't have that in mind, didn't intend that, those are not food, and therefore it wouldn't be included. Obviously, if he said, "I'm not drinking paint today," or "I'm not eating dirt today," and he did, then he'd be in violation. But the point is, he said just simply eating, and eating wouldn't include things that are not roi l'achila, things that aren't meant to be eaten. Okay, what about things that are not kosher midoraisa? He says, shvur shlo ochal, he takes an oath, he swears, "I'm not eating today," that's how Rashi learns. And then, v'achal nevelos utreifos shkatzim ramasim. Then he eats food that are not kosher on a doraisa level. Nevelos are like large terrestrial animals, even a cow, but it didn't get proper shechita. It's even a kosher animal, but it's a shechita. A treifa is an animal which even did get proper shechita, but it had some injured organ or limb, which would make it that it couldn't live for 12 months, and then it had a hole in its lungs or something like that. Shkatzim are all kinds of little creatures that no one likes to eat. You know, I don't know what, frogs and beetles and butterflies and whatever. And ramasim are the kind of essentially insects and larvae that come from or grow in decaying matter, so like maggots and worms and the like, okay? So all those things are asa midoraisa, and therefore the question is, if a person says he won't eat, then he eats, you know, he eats the frog legs, is he on the hook for bringing a chatas? So says the Mishnah, yes, he's chayv. The reason why, the Pasha reason why, is because when the Torah says, you know, you can't eat frog legs and bacon, so that doesn't mean that it's not food. A person is basically supposed to relate to it as like, I'm sure bacon is delicious. It's just that God said I can't eat it. And it's the way the mashal that Chazal uses, like there's like as if there's a lion crouching over the bacon. So the food is food, but you just can't get to it because God said no. So since that's the case, so it is food. So if one actually eats the bacon or the frog legs and the like, so it's considered to be food. And therefore, he would be liable to bringing a chatas against the olav yored. However, Rabbi Shimon Poter, Rabbi Shimon says no. He disagrees. Now, the reason why Rabbi Shimon disagrees is not because, at least according to Rashi, it's not because bacon isn't food. It's that there is already an existing shvua that every Jew has back from Har Sinai that says they won't eat bacon, right? So since it's Aser Midoraisa, everyone's already like standing already mushba ba'omed, he's like already previously forsworn from eating the bacon. And that being the case, there's a rule of ein iser chal iser. If something is already forbidden from the Torah, you can't make it usher again. This the idea here is being that since he's trying to take a shvua to add iser, you know, re-forbid it, but the point is it's already forbidden, so then ein shvua chal al shvua, to take an oath and swear you're not going to eat it when you already said you couldn't eat it from the Torah, you're definitely not going to eat it now. So the shvua isn't additive, it's not chal, it's not binding. So that means if he goes and he eats the frog legs and the bacon, so he would be in violation of the Torah, of course, but not in violation of the Shvua. And of course, the big difference would be, if he eats a b'shogeg, for example, there's certainly no obligation to bring a chatas for eating pork, bacon, you know, frog legs, when those bring a chatas, so he wouldn't be liable, says Rabbi Shimon. That's Rabbi Shimon Shita. Now, the Tanakhama agrees that ein iser chal iser, and you can't take a Shvua already, is forbidden by a Shvua already. However, they do subscribe, and this is the halacha, that you can have what's called an iser kolel, an iser which is more broad and includes elements that were previously permitted. So if a person says, I'm not eating any of the food in the grocery store, you know, any food, so then that would include both the kosher section as well as the not kosher section. So according to the Tanakhama, that's like binding. So since there's the shvu includes more elements, so then It's bani even on the non-kosher food. So he has like a shvua that has a separate isser overlay on top of the bacon and the frog's legs. And Rabbi Shimon doesn't subscribe to that. Rabbi Shimon says, no, if it doesn't matter. There's such thing as the isser kolel. You can add stuff to it. There's no separate additive isser that's chal on the bacon that wasn't there before. Okay, that's the machlokas. Halacha is like tana kama, so if you do add more elements in your shvua, then the shvua is binding. Worth pointing out here that Tosfos learns this differently based on the later on in the Gemara. Tosfos' bottom line holds that things that are asr medoraisa are not considered to be ruhi le'achila, they're not food for a Jew, and therefore if a person simply say, I'm taking an oath, I'm not eating today, shvu sheni ochel, that he would have never had in mind frog legs, just as he would have in mind dirt. Okay, so therefore, Tosfos understands really the second case of the Mishnah is where his shvua is something like, I'm taking a shvua that I'm not eating kosher or treif, you know, the velas or shchutos. So since he commits to doing not eating kosher or treif, Rabbi Shimon says, doesn't matter, the treif was forbidden from before. Tanakam holds, well, it's additive because, you know, you included the kosher stuff, and it would now include a separate shvua that's chal, so you'd be in violation. Okay, fine. The last part of the Mishnah is going to really bring up a new topic, which is the topic of nedarim. So here, instead of taking a shvua, who said a shvua can't be chal, what's already mushba, already what's forsworn, now we're going to take a neder. A neder really can be, meaning he's going to, there's a little more happening in the Mishnah than is necessary to teach this basic principle I'm saying now, so I won't read it yet. But if a person says, I take a shvua that I won't eat matzah on Pesach, or take a shvua that I will eat, you know, bacon today, both those shvuas are not chal, because the Torah says, yes, you're eating matzah on Pesach, and Leil Seder, and no, you're not eating bacon. So those shvuas would be meaningless. However, if a person would say, I'm taking a shvua, I'm taking a neder, all the matzah in the world should be forbidden to me like a korban. So now he's stuck, comes Leil Seder, since every individual piece of matzah is usher to him, even though he has an obligation to eat matzah, it's all forbidden to him. So therefore he won't be able to eat. It's like he checkmated himself. Okay, so the Isser can be chal, not as a shvua, but as a neder on, let's say, all the pieces of matzah. So our case of remission is very similar to the previous case. It says, but instead of using a shvua to forbid eating, he's using a neder. He says, konam ishti, nehenes li, imachalti hayom. He says that getting benefit from me should be forbidden to my wife if I eat today. In other words, when you effect a neder, it doesn't just have to be that you say something's forbidden to you. You could say something that you have rights to is forbidden to somebody else. I could say, my bicycle is forbidden to you as if it were a korban. Okay, so here we're saying something similar. The man is saying that getting any benefit from him is forbidden to his wife. That'd be from his person or even from his, you know, his pocketbook and the like. So even though the Torah says you have an obligation to take care of your wife, you have to provide her with shark, sus, and ona. You have to feed her, you have to dress her, you have to give her time. So those are obligations, but here, while a shvu would not be effective, since it's a neder and he's making himself assert to her, so to speak, so then, if he eats, so it says v'hu achal, if he in fact did eat, so then, nevelos, even if he ate nevelos or treifos shkatz maramasim, hore ishto asura, if he eats anything that's food, even not kosher food, since he's in violation of his neder, if it were the neder, contingent neder, the neder kicks in, he ate, even if it's frog-legged, but the frog's legs is considered eating, like we said, like Rashi. So therefore, we will say that the neder kicks in, and his wife is forbidden to get benefit from him. Now, if it's just a one-day thing, it'd be a one-day thing, and indeed she'd be forbidden to get benefit from him. It'll be a long-term thing, he says, for the rest of my life. So then he sort of paints himself into a corner, kind of like the matzah case, where he says, all the matzahs are to me. Here he becomes forever forbidden to his wife. That'd be grounds for divorce. Now, the wife now could essentially take him to the bed and say, listen, the Torah says he has to provide with shark, sus, and ona, and he's not, and he can't because he has a neder. So if we don't, you know, whatever, cancel a neder, so then he'll, since he's not allowed to provide that to her because of his neder, he's forced now to give her a get. But that's totally a side point. The main point of our mission is that you can contrive a case where neder would be effective, according to everybody, even Rabbi Shimon, where it wouldn't be effective if it was structured as a shvuah.